we realize, Lord, that we the only reason why we can is because of Christ, Lord, because of you giving your only Son, Lord, and you giving us that precious gift of life so that we can have a relationship with you, Lord, so that we can draw near to you boldly, so that we can come into and dig into your word like we're doing now, Lord. And we, Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher, Lord, and we open our hearts, Lord, and we recognize that your word is not just words on a page, God. We ask that you would bring revelation, Lord, of who you are, Lord, that you'd bring revelation of life and abundance, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that each of us here will receive an impartation of life this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right, so actually, if you see the, it's not often that I use a quote from a movie as a sermon title, but this is from the Gladiator, right? If some of you will recognize it, but actually the picture is that one where he's walking through the field of what is it, grain or something, with his hand like this. Anyway, so on my screen, it looks amazing. So I'm just saying, all right. We'll pray for the projector. It's getting dimmer every week. But in any case, so let's start with Matthew 25 from 21. His Lord said to him, this is the parable of the talents. This is about the one that was given the most. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Is it not working? Is it getting there? There we go. Okay. So that's at least clear. Right. So what we see here is probably the words that all of us want to hear one day. Or at least I know. I will be pleased. I'll be very happy if stand before God one day and he'll be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's a whole sermon on its own, the servant part. But anyway, the standing before God in eternity and receiving the affirmation of the Father, receiving those, hearing those words, "Well done, you've been faithful. You've been faithful with what has been entrusted to you." And then there's the next part here. There's the part about a responsibility that is linked to the stewardship that has gone before, right? So we'll get into that now a bit later. "I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." So there's that affirmation from the Father. And I really, all of us, I believe, have this, even if you haven't thought about it, probably you have this desire in you that, to please God. God has created us with an innate desire to please Him as a father. We grow up with our earthly fathers, we have a desire to please our fathers, and we have a desire to please our Heavenly Father. But now, what does it take? How do we get to that place to please the Father? What does it take to please Him? And obviously, there's a lot of things we can talk about. But I want to look at one specific angle this morning, and I want to go to Hebrews chapter 9, 26 and 28. "But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ has offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." So there is a definite place where we are heading towards a place, and this is, he said, it's appointed for men to die once. So that's probably not a bad thing. We only die once. But that's, nobody can escape that part, right? Don't worry, this is not bad news. This is good news. Just hang in there. But after this, the judgment. So that is a thing that we don't want to talk about, say, every day. And probably not something very popular. If somebody wants to earn a lot of money on Christian television, you probably won't speak about judgment. But that this is the reality of the scripture, is that we have an accountability before the Father, and this is something that all of us are gonna stand before one day. But let's go on. We're gonna get to the good news. And actually, that's bad news, actually. Let's just, actually, before we go to 1 Corinthians. So, John Bevere, you may have heard of him, writes a book called Driven by Eternity. And in this book, he paints a picture of people coming before, names being written, called out, and people approaching God, approaching the throne, giving account, giving kind of accountability for what they did. And so I want to say a few things around this. So the two important things to consider this morning is, what do we do with the person of Jesus Christ? What we do and how we respond to Jesus Christ, how we respond to the person of Jesus Christ, determines where we spend eternity, right? So what do we do with the fact that he died and rose again, that he paid for our sin, and he gives us invitation to have eternal life in communion with the Father, right? So what we do with that determines where we head in eternity. But now, often we stop there, and we think, obviously that is absolutely critical, but often we stop there. But there's a second part that I want to add, that after that, how we spend our time and what we do and how we respond to God's call in our life, and going back to the faithful servant, but how we are faithful to his call upon our life, that has just as important role in terms of determining how we will spend eternity. So even if we're heading towards eternity with God, depending on how we have a revelation of his will and how we walk in that, is going to have a massive impact on what eternity with God will look like. Okay. Now, I don't have a lot of time to go into it, but there's so the picture that he paints, okay, getting back to John Bevere, he says, you know, for instance, the name is called out, Evangelist Johnson, and then, Johnson, and then the guy comes up and he says, Evangelist Johnson, and then the guy looks confused for a moment, just to picture this, okay, the Father's there, Father's loving and caring, there's no judgment here, this is not the point. Let me just make a distinction. This is not the judgment where it's decided whether you will have eternal life or not, right? Once you come before the Father, that is determined by your decision about Christ before you die, okay? But once we die, we will come before the Father, and he paints this picture of this guy, Johnson, being called up, and he says, Evangelist Johnson, come forward, and the guy is looking a bit puzzled, and he says, no, you've got it wrong. I'm CEO. I'm CEO Johnson. I'm the head of this major corporation. I've done amazing stuff. I've built so many orphanages, and I've given so much to the kingdom. This is what I've done. I've done so well in business, and I've earned so much. And he paints this picture of this guy, and then expecting that to be this affirmation to be around what he has achieved, and then the absolute bewilderment when Christ says, but I actually called you to be an evangelist. So the picture it's a bit of a rude awakening, but I believe it's really one we should rather have this side of eternity than the other side. And it's not to say that somebody that misses it like that is going to be spending his time in eternity somewhere else. No, it's just that if we miss that call, and if we miss that the crux of what God has actually called us to do in life, it's going to determine what we will be entrusted to, we will be entrusted with in eternity. And the other extreme is when somebody that is maybe in ministry, somebody that's obviously there's hundreds of examples you can use, but then he calls him up and he says, Accountant Smith, and then the guy comes up and says, no, you got it wrong. I'm a pastor of a church, and I've laid down my life for the church for many years, and I've pastored so many people, and I've did all this stuff. And he says, but no, I called you to be in business. I've had all these plans for you. I had all this stuff prepared for you. And so obviously those are you know, like I said, we can look at a lot of different examples. But the point he makes is that place of us pursuing something with everything we have, and then coming to a point where we were before the Father. This is not a place of judgment of you are not my son or something like that. You are my son. You are accepted. You have eternal life. But now there's a point of what have you done? What have you done with what I've entrusted to you? And I'm going to look quickly at 1 Corinthians 3. This is really good news, guys, I promise. 1 Corinthians 3 from 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. It so as through fire. So this is not about you being saved or not, but there is the question of the reward, and there is a question of how what you will be entrusted to with in eternity, and if one looks at a picture of just eternity is a difficult concept for us to get our heads around. Because we are so in time, right? We're so stuck in our schedules, and we are so caught up in time that it's difficult for us to think of God being outside of time. You know, God looks at time as we look at this pen. We can see the one end and the other end. You can look in the inside. You can look this one. You can actually look through it. So God is outside of time to a point where he can kind of see all of it from every side. Well, we are kind of very much stuck in it in terms of life here on earth, and that makes us difficult to get a concept of eternity. But eternity is obviously is forever, and the picture I had was, if you think about some Olympic athletes, right? Now, I did some athletics at school, but I wasn't anywhere close to being an Olympic athlete. But specifically the sprinters. They say the 100 meter sprinters. They, if you're an Olympic athlete and you're training to go to the Olympics, you normally, you know, you have at least 4 years. Obviously, it takes many more years than that to get to that standard, but years and years and years and years of training, your preparation, building up, you know, eating right, doing everything right, abstaining from a lot of stuff. Your whole life is built around this journey, and you at the starting line, and then within less than 10 seconds these days, it's done. That's it. Can you imagine that? All of that effort, all of that training, all of that years and months, and then it's less than 10 seconds. Okay, you don't. You know, it's crazy. I mean, that's at least the guys that run 10 miles. Like, there's more. You're like, yes, like really, they've done it now. But less than 10 seconds, and all of that is done, and that's it. It's determined how well you've done. Now, if you turn this on its head, that's almost what we are dealing with in terms of our preparation for eternity. If I told you that what you do in the next 2 hours, how you approach the next 2 hours will determine the reward and the blessing or the position and how will position you for the next 500 years. Would that be a bit of a focus moment? Okay, I need to focus now for these 2 hours. If I can focus for these 2 hours, then I'm going to be set for the next 500 years. Now, eternity, if you times that by a lot, then that's what we're looking at. Okay? In other words, you know, Scripture speaks of our lives on earth being a vapor, a breath. It's one day it's here and the next it's gone. And if you have little children, it doesn't feel like that, you know, like if you're not sleeping. We actually, you know, people say you can sleep when you're dead. Yeah. Anyway, so but the reality of eternity is that our life on earth is such a small moment compared to the time, or to compare to eternity. But the challenge is that What we do in that small moment, how we respond to the call of God, how we respond to the will of God, has such a big impact on what's going to happen for the rest of eternity. Are you with me this morning? And guys, I'm not. This is not a heavy. This is a one. What I trust that we would refocus and recalibrate and think. Okay, what must I change in the way I do life so that I can hear those words one day? Good and faithful servant. What do I have to reprioritize? Do I have to change the way I think about my career or my children? Do I have to change the way I think about what? How do I pursue God? How do I pursue His will in my decision making and my planning? What do I need to change? Let's go on to 1 Peter. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Encouragement that Peter writes and says, guys, put your eyes on the right things. Don't get busy with all this other nonsense. But two things I want to point out. He says there, as each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards, right? And then it's again, it's if anyone ministers, do it with the ability that God supplies. And that's what I want to ask this morning. What have you received? What are the gifts that you've been given? The question is not yet, have you received something? Okay. So I've got great news for everybody here. You have received amazing things from God. God is a loving Father, and He is not withholding any good thing from you. I've grown a lot in many things since I've become a parent. The parenting part is still a challenge, let me just be honest about that. But I've felt that I've grown in my revelation of the Father heart of God, because if I, as far as I am capable, I will withhold no good thing from my children. Amen. In fact, I have to be careful that we don't spoil them. And with you know, we have to manage that. But there's a desire, is just to give as much and as often and as the abundance that we, whatever is possible and beyond. That's the heart of a father. And that's the heart of our Father towards each person here. He knows you. He knows your deepest desires. He knows your dreams. He knows your expectations. He knows what you're hoping for. He knows what your fears are. But our Father is the one that has prepared good things for us. Amen. All right, here we go, this side. Okay, so this is not a case of God withholding something. He has given us so much. And the question I'm asking this morning is, what are we doing with that He has entrusted to us? When we are planning where we live and where we work and who we marry and how we parent, are we thinking about this moment, or are we thinking about eternity that lies beyond? And as a parent, again, you know, I think there's a lot that changes in your thinking when you have children, because you realize after a while that the little things that you do every day are the things that are so ingrained and become such a part of life, such a powerful part of life. You know, when the other day I was walking up the stairs, and if you look at ours, you'll understand, but I leant over the side of the stairs, and then I came back up, and I hit my head, like, properly, okay? So I was like, whoa, and I was like, immediately, you know, I didn't say anything bad, don't worry. But it was really odd. And then I was like almost like on my knees there on the stairs, and I was like, you know, kind of groaning or something. And Abigail, 4-year-old, she was putting her hand there. I was like, no, what are you doing? And then I realized she was laying hands on me. And I was like, whoa, you know, it's really painful. And she kept on, I said, what are you doing? And then I realized she's wanting to pray for me. She was laying her hands on me to pray for me. I was like, okay, I was not in a good place to receive the prayer right there. But I was so blessed when I thought of it later, because it's just one of those little things that happen every day, or not every day, but it happened often enough for her to immediately think that's the first thing that must happen. And I can actually learn from her. But what I'm saying is, it's in life, are we doing the things every day that we know will position us for what is lying ahead in eternity? Position us in a place where we say, we will be in a place where we can hear those words that we so desire to hear. I remember I was in the Air Force in South Africa. I had a great plan, guys. I don't have time now to tell you my great plan, but it involved flying jets and being a test pilot and all kinds of amazing things. And I was well on my way, let me just say. And but then I had this revelation that God had, as the scripture says, as he's building us as living stones, he had a place for me where I fitted into his master plan. And a place for me, albeit very small and insignificant in the big picture, it's still a very specific place where I needed to fit into his design, and into his plan, into his purpose. And the conviction was such that I remember so many nights after church in my little room there in Rees at the university, wrestling with God, sometimes even in tears, about, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Is my life pointing in the right direction? What have you prepared for me? And I became so desperate to do the will of God that I just gave God a blank check. I said, whatever you require. I just want to be in the center of your will. I remember praying very specifically one evening. I said, Lord, if I need to go and be a street sweeper in Timbuktu, I will go and do that. And I was making a point, but I realized that I went to look at the map, where's Timbuktu, okay? Because I realized you can't say stuff like that to God. So I'm just warning you, okay? And I was so serious, and I was very young, but I was so serious, and I was so convicted of this. And you know what? God honors that, I believe, and he honored that. And my whole life fell apart after that, as the Lord removed all the stuff that was in the way. So within a few months, I didn't have a job at the Air Force anymore, and I couldn't study engineering anymore, and a lot of doors closed. It was quite traumatic. But I was so freeing at the same time, because I realized God was answering my prayer. And he was positioning me and pointing me in a direction that he wanted me to go. And I believe each of us have moments like that in our lives where we become desperate to say, to the point that we will give God a blank check and saying, Lord, wherever you choose, wherever you would send me and my family, wherever you would choose to take us, we want to be in the center of your will. I want to close with John chapter 14. From verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare, this is Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wherever you find yourself right now, whether you have a place of conviction where you know I am in the center of His will, whether you have that conviction and that peace or not, does not change the fact that Christ is the way to the Father. Amen. If you would stand with me this morning, we're going to pray. So I want to ask just one or two things. I want to ask, what has God entrusted to you? What has God called you? What is that perfect place? What is that shape in the bigger building, in the bigger plan? What is that specific place that God has prepared for you and your family? What is that niche that He has prepared for you? And guys, I have respect for the fact that you may have not ever thought of this before. Okay. Or you may have thought about it a lot and may not have all the answers. That's also fine. But what I want to say to you this morning is that God knows exactly where you are at. He knows your deepest desires and your deepest heart's desires. He knows the ones that you've never shared with anybody else. He's probably put a lot of them there. He knows how some of us have had dreams and desires and we've forgotten about them because they seem so impossible. But I trust this morning for us to connect again with those precious dreams and desires, those that God has put in our hearts many years ago. But I also trust for a place where God can bring us, if we need to be, to a point of desperation where we say, God, whatever it takes, and wherever you may take us, and wherever you may lead us, we want to be in your will, and we want to live our lives to your glory, and we want to live our lives for the sake of your kingdom. Let's close our eyes this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your great mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness. Oh God, we stand in awe, Lord, of your goodness. Your word says your goodness and mercy follow us, Lord, wherever we go, and it's so true. This morning we lift our eyes up from our circumstance. We lift our eyes up from this moment that is time, and we look unto eternity. Oh God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd make a shift. You'd bring about a shift in every heart. That when we look at life, Lord, that we would not see only the moments right here, but Lord, that we would lift our eyes to see you. Lift our eyes to see you in eternity. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for a heart and a life that is set on eternity, Lord, with you. God, as every eye is closed, I thank you, Lord, for every heart here. I thank you for every life. Thank you that you know every child, every adult. You know even the unborn children, Lord, that are to come. We thank you, Lord, that you have written down days for each, Lord, for the whole life, Lord. And we thank you that you've even written down, Lord, a purpose and a plan beyond this life. I thank you for every heart here, and I thank you for your love towards every person, Lord. I thank you for your desire for each one to walk in your purpose and your plan. And while every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you have yet to take the first step, which is to accept the gift that Christ is holding out to us this morning, which is the gift of salvation. If you are in a place where you know maybe you've had a relationship with God before. Maybe you've been in church for long or growing up. But where you are right now, you know something must change. And you need to make a shift. I feel maybe there's one or two people here that have tasted what it is like to have a relationship with God. But there's so much that has happened. There's some tragedies and hurts that you've wrestled through. And you find yourself far, you're feeling far from God. I have such a strong conviction that God is calling you to Him this morning. My son, my daughter, come and draw near to me again. Come and let me come and revive those seeds of destiny I've put in your heart. Come and let me blow on that spark that is in your life, that it be lit up again into a raging fire. Even that smoldering, some of us feel like there's just a little smolder left, but God wants to come and blow on that ember this morning and let it grow into a massive fire that you will burn for Him again. If that's you this morning, every eye's closed, I'm not going to call you to the front, but if that's you and you want to respond to the calling of the Father, you want to respond to say, Lord, I want to receive your gift of salvation. I want to acknowledge that you have died for my sins, and I want to call you Lord. I want to call you Father. I want to call you Savior. I have a desire to lay down my life. I have a desire to follow you. And I feel I need to do it right now. If that's you this morning, we just want to lift your hand for a moment. Nobody's paying attention to anybody else. If that's you, just lift your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Amen. And then if you're here this morning and you may have been running and you've been so occupied, you've been so busy with life, as we all are, that you've lost sight of eternity. And this morning you know you want to make a shift. And you want to come to that point where you want to say, God, I want to be in the center. Follow you. My life is yours. I want to serve you with everything I have. Me and my family and I, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve you. If that's you this morning, and again, I'm not going to call you forward, but if you want to just raise your hand, it's a gesture to God to say, Lord, I am standing before you today, and I choose again that we would live to serve you, live to lay down our lives for you. If that's you, if you want to just raise your hand, I want to just pray with us together. Father, we thank you, Lord. You see every heart, you see every hand, Lord. We thank you for the purposes that you have in mind. I just feel there's such a, God just wants to impress on every heart the treasures that He has prepared, the plans that He has prepared, the gifts that He has given. And I thank you, Lord, this morning that you reconnect us with those seeds of destiny that you've put in our hearts, Lord. I thank you that you blow on those embers, Lord. I thank you for fires to burn brightly in every heart, Lord. A desire for your kingdom to come, Lord. And a passion for your name, and a passion for your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray your blessing, Lord, on every heart, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that this word will bear fruit, Lord, in every life, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for patience. If you have a desire to just pray with somebody about anything that was said, or even if you have any other prayer need beyond what was said, as my daughter would tell you, Jesus hasn't changed his mind about healing. He still heals today. She's prayed for me more than once with instant results. Honestly, it's amazing what the faith of a child can do. I learn from her every day. Anyways, if you have any need for prayer, please either ask somebody next to you, or you're welcome to come to the front and somebody pray with you in the front. But I do know that God has made provision for your situation, and I do know that He knows exactly where you are, and He has made a specific provision for your situation. So please don't leave until somebody has prayed with you. Thanks so much for being here. We are here next week again. We trust to see you. Very welcome. And please join us for some amazing stuff at the back there that Britta and her brought, and celebrate this little girl with us. God bless you. If you need prayer, come to the front.